Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events. Here's Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. We're highlighting remarks from other spotlights and Illinois Family Institute events. Let's start with comments from Dr. Carl Benzio. Dr. Benzio struggled with anxiety, depression, alcohol, and gambling. He's had some DUIs and spent time in jail for aggravated assault, but God intervened in his life. He spoke about his transformation during a Spotlight podcast. Dr. Benzio is a board-certified psychiatrist. He's the co-founder and medical director of Honey Lake Clinic, which provides Christ-centered mental health treatment programs in a supportive, healing environment in Greenville, Florida. It's a blend of science and faith.
As I went through my difficulties, as you talked about, end up in medical school and was arrested for aggravated assault and in jail. And Jesus said to me, Carl, you made me your savior when you were a little kid, but you never made me the Lord of your life. If you make me the Lord of your life, I'm going to teach you things about decision making that are going to renew your mind, transform your life, and help you transform other people's lives as well. And when I heard Lord, I heard authority. When I heard authority, I heard author. When I heard author, I realized that I had thought I was the most qualified person to write, how does Carl get the most out of life? I was the one that was supposed to write that book. I loved me more than anybody. I cared for me more than anybody else cared for me. I knew my weaknesses. I knew my strengths. I knew my future. I knew my desires. I knew what I wanted to get out of life. Nobody else knows that more than I do, so I'm the one who's most qualified. And when I heard Lord, a third author, I realized, oh, wow. He knows me more than I know me. He loves me more than I know me. He cares for me more than I care for me. He knows my future better than I know my future. He knows my weaknesses, my strengths, those people that are going to come around me. And he's written the instruction manual, the B-I-B-L-E, the best instruction book for living every day. With the Bible, I started thinking, okay, well, Jesus is the one with perfect decision-making skills. So let me go in and start studying his decisions in the New Testament. What are the commonalities in his decisions? So it was getting back to the faith, making God the Lord of my life. Obviously, it doesn't happen overnight. It's about a 3 or 4 year period with therapy, a psychiatry training program, good Bible teachers that I had in the past, and starting to bring those things together and be sort of humble to the Holy Spirit, bring all that past information and past knowledge. To me, the Bible was always just a history book about what happened 2,000 to whatever, 6,000 years ago, or what happens in the future. My parents were very prophecy-oriented, so they went to a lot of prophecy conferences. So understanding the Bible or looking at the Bible as a book from 1963 whenever I die, I didn't really see it as a dash book about, you know, pertinent to present day life. And so at that point, that's whenever things turned around, I started seeing, wow, this is a book about everyday living. And as I got into that decision-making process, looking into Jesus' decision, sort of then marrying all these scientific principles I was understanding about how God designed our mind to work. To me, all science is just studying what God made, understanding how he designed it to function, and then learning how to maximally steward that. And so to me, the coolest thing, partial being a psychiatrist that he designed, was the human mind. And so good science is just understanding the mind, how God designed it to work and how we can maximally steward it. And that's what psychiatry is, learning, well, how do we steward this mind so that we can be more godly decision makers? And that just took me on my path, and God has just blessed me with just incredible opportunities to utilize that blend of science and faith to be able to help people in their healing journeys.
During a spotlight, Dr. Benzio also weighed in on legal high THC content marijuana and a push in Illinois to use psychedelics for the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder and other conditions.
THC is a very destructive, you know, chemical. There's CBD in the marijuana plant that is healthy, that is somewhat protective of the brain chemistry. But THC has gotten so potent in the marijuana plants that are produced to help produce more euphoria. And it's so destructive as far as psychoses, as far as suicidality, anxiety, paranoia. There's increase in crime, increase in violence, increase in suicide. Colorado, initially in those first couple years afterwards, they found that they were costing them $5 for every $1 they were collecting in tax in the process. So we haven't found THC to be helpful or beneficial for any medical issue yet. It is approved for cancer chemotherapy-induced nausea and vomiting. But there are other medicinals that are as effective. So research hasn't shown it to be any better than anything else. So it's got a whole lot of downside to it that we don't even want to go to. But yet, unfortunately, we're seeing the ravages of it And now we're looking at psychedelics. Well, what are we going to do with psychedelics in the process? Haven't we learned anything from alcohol? First of all, alcohol should be illegal. I mean, in my view, it's the most toxic substance to our whole body, brain, and, you know, all our organs and everything in between. So addictions is the number one killer in our society. Addictions, when you add it up, the CDC will say cardiovascular at about 700,000. But if you take of those 700,000, 300,000 have eating addictions. So there's obesity from overeating. If we take those 300,000 out, now we're down to 400,000 on the cardiovascular. So that's 300,000 from obesity, about 100,000 from overdoses, 400,000 from nicotine, about 100,000 from alcohol. There's the different accidents, different crimes, different homicides. There's infections from IV drug abuse and AIDS and those. So that ends up being about 900,000 to 950,000, the highest, except for abortion. Annually. Abortion, we don't know, but annually. Annually, but we don't publicize that anywhere. You have to dig through all the data to find that information. Whereas they easily put out CDC, you know, the CDC puts out cardiovascular at number one, cancer at number two, and then COVID or accidental injuries is number three. But it's really addictions. And now we're trying to open the doors even more, whether it's gambling, which process addiction has its ramifications and ripples, but all the different chemical addictions. Well, why would we even want to put things out there that are dangerous? You only get one brain. I try to teach kids when I speak at schools, you only get one brain. Well, psilocybin, which is in shrooms, and MDMA, ketamine are the three main psychedelics that they're looking at for, is there a medicinal opportunity for them? Now, these substances affect our brain chemistry in significant ways. They distort our ability to see things clearly. They allow the brain to be more malleable or to heighten the opportunity for neuroplasticity or brain change. That's a positive thing for people that have injured brain chemistry. We want to heal that, and we want to, how do we improve or quicken that rate? What we do at Honey Lake Clinic is we try to use psychological and spiritual interventions to get at that place of how do we help a person access those memories in the hippocampus? How do we help them push into that limbic space and the amygdala and the prefrontal cortex so we can get those circuits to intertwine and integrate in a way that allows for us to look at these past traumatic experiences, process them in a healthier way, a more appropriate way, so that we can purge some of the detrimental impact that those traumatic experiences now have in our life. When used under incredible supervision and diligence, there could be a possibility that that could happen, just like we use opioids for pain management with a lot of supervision, a lot of oversight and accountability. We use benzodiazepines, things like Xanax, Ativan, Clonopin, with a lot of supervision, oversight, and precise accountability as to what exactly are we going to use them for. So I can see the possibility of being able to use some of these psychedelics for situations, but needs to be so much more research because there's so much more damaging and harmful effects of these particular substances, and they really need to be refined a lot more because the toxic effects on the brain and the distortion of reality that they have is substantial. I think we can get at the psycho-spiritual elements of these memories and our that unconscious space that we're trying to help navigate a lot better through good therapy and engaging that and integrating that with biblical principles. And what we do at Honey Lake Clinic, I think, is very similar to what they do with MDMA or psilocybin, sort of complemented psychotherapy. That psycho-spiritual place that MDMA, psilocybin, and those kind of psychedelics are trying to help a person get at, I think we can get at through a more naturalistic relational process, but we have to provide that environment for that to happen. In our secular space, when we leave out spirituality, we're not as engaged. We're not as bonded, as connected, as brothers and sisters in Christ as we are in what we provide there at our Christian facility at Honey Lake Clinic.
And Dr. Benzio used an Illinois Family Institute forum at Grace Fellowship Church in Oak Forest to warn Illinois lawmakers against passing pro-suicide legislation.
So Hippocrates in 486 BC came out with the Hippocratic Oath. The Hippocratic Oath, he talked about physician-assisted suicide because people were coming to somebody who was a slave owner that got a slave pregnant, or a slave was had a broken leg, and the slave owner would give Hippocrates or the doctor $20 to kill that person because they cost me more money. It's a lot easier to just kill that person. And finally, people were afraid to tell their doctor anything because I don't know if that doctor's going to kill me because that information will get back to my master. So now there's a lack of trust. Well, it's vital for a patient to be able to trust their doctor to give them information that I need to know to be able to treat them as best as possible. and maximize their health and their opportunity. So when a patient doesn't trust me, we're already starting on a bad foot to be able to, for me to do my job as best as possible. So whenever we have physician-assisted suicide, now patients aren't trusting their doctors. Is that doctor going to kill me? Are they not going to kill me? What's going to happen? I can't stop a person from killing themselves, but I can try to put them on a commitment. I can try to give them all kind of helpful things. I've treated patients that have attempted suicide, jumped off a bridge, shot themselves, drank Drano, and wore out their esophagus, and now they have to have a feeding tube for the rest of their life. But now they're glad that they lived, and they see the amazing thing that God can do with them. So we can't predict the future, but we don't want the healthcare provider to be somebody that is jumping in, doing harmful things to patient, and that's what society starts to see healthcare providers as, a harmful part of our society, instead of, hey, these are healers, this is where you go to prolong your life, to get help, not to kill life. And so whenever they try to pull doctors into it, I think they're just trying to validate their poor position by bringing in somebody to bridge that gap, sort of be a line of security blanket in their maladaptive kind of policy.
Dr. Carl Benzio with the Honey Lake Clinic, honeylake.clinic. Call. Ask your state lawmakers to vote no on pro-suicide legislation. For names and phone numbers, click Officials Finder on the IllinoisFamily.org homepage. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. More highlights after this.
Should we judge not? This is Ken Ham, and our popular Ark Encounter attraction is located in northern Kentucky. Which scripture verse is quoted out of context the most? Well, I would argue it might be Jesus' words of judge not. You see, many people will say, Jesus said judge not, so how dare you judge me? But we always need to read verses within their context. And when you do that, you'll see Jesus was warning us not to judge others in a hypocritical manner. Jesus later tells us to judge with a righteous judgment. This means we first examine ourselves and then make judgments against the authority of God's word. We don't judge according to our own opinions, but according to God's eternal word. It's the ultimate standard for our thinking.
Plan your visit to see our full-size Noah's Ark by going to AnswersRadio.com. Children 10 and under are free this year, so bring the whole family. Go to AnswersRadio.com.
Join the Illinois Family Institute along with Dr. Brad Wilcox and Scott Phelps for their powerful, practical insights on the high calling of marriage and families at IFI's Worldview Conference, Saturday, March 8th at Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. For more information, click events at IllinoisFamily.org.
Nothing compares to a good marriage and predicting happiness for Americans.
The IFI Worldview Conference. Click events at IllinoisFamily.org.
Where we have healthy marriage, we have healthy communities, healthy culture, and what we need to do is strengthen and encourage marriage in America, and we begin by teaching that to our youth.
The High Calling of Marriage and Families, the IFI Worldview Conference, Saturday, March 8th at Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. For more information, click events at IllinoisFamily.org. IllinoisFamily.org.
Hail and well met. My name is Jenna.
I'm Kenna Rose.
And I'm Eliana.
We are three of the five hosts of the Self-Evident Podcast, a platform dedicated to speaking truths that were once self-evident, and our hope is that we do so in love.
We have seen a distinct lack of platforms talking about worldview issues and theology and just a lot of what's going on in the world from a perspective of speaking truth, but doing it in such a way that is loving. And so our hope is to be able to talk about these in such a way that
our peers can access it.
Right, absolutely. As well as interviewing a variety of people such as pastors, actors, theologians, directors, even some of our friends to glean wisdom from their own walks of life.
Yeah, so if you are in the Generation Z category, even if you're above that, or impressively, even if you're below that and you're listening to podcasts, good on you. We encourage you to stop by our platform at selfevidentpodcast.com.
Self-evident. Speaking truths that were once self-evident and doing so in love.
Thanks for joining this Illinois Family Spotlight Highlight Edition. Millions of Americans see the outcomes of the general election as good reason to be hopeful for the beginning of a renewed nation in 2025. A better economy, more border security, gender sanity, and a strong foreign policy. But the Reverend Dr. Erwin Lutzer says Christians still have work to do. the author of The Eclipse of God and Christians, Politics, and the Cross, spoke with Illinois Family Spotlight.
We have problems, spiritual and moral, in this country that no politician will ever be able to solve. That's where the church comes in, shining the light of the gospel, putting the cross of Christ above a political party, and preaching Christ and the gospel. That's our privilege, and that's our responsibility, no matter who gets elected.
And Dr. Lutzer is challenging the church to stand for truth in a culture that normalizes sin.
You talk about in the Eclipse of God that we've created a sin-friendly God. And I'm thinking of a lot of our liberal churches. They embrace abortion, same-sex marriage. They're okay with surgeries on children to change their sex. And we know that's wrong. That's extreme. But what's happening in our evangelical and our conservative churches? How are we making God more tolerant and inclusive, sin-friendly?
Well, thank you for pointing that out, because that's a big thing that I emphasize in the book. Americans don't mind saying they believe in God, just as long as they are God. And there are two doctrines that destroy the church. One is the essential goodness of man, and the other is the existence of a non-judgmental deity. But let's talk about our churches. Let's talk about even evangelical churches. What we have today is an imbalance. Many sermons on the love of God and the acceptance of God, and that is very important, but I need to very quickly add a paragraph to that. Love can be evil. You know, today, love is love. Oh, really? Love can be evil. As a matter of fact, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, they didn't stop loving. They just started to love the wrong things. Lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, lovers of self. So love is love. Herein is love, that you keep my commandments. So, but there's this imbalance. You know, the last chapter in my book is returning to the God of wrath and grace, not the God of unconditional love, because the idea that God loves everyone unconditionally, no matter what they do, cannot be shown from Scripture. I like to ask people, when is the last time you heard a sermon on the wrath of God? And of course, we don't go there, but twice at Moody Church, I was pastor there for 36 years, only twice did I preach on the doctrine of hell. And I can tell you, I could scarcely sleep the night before, because what I was saying was just beyond my ability to think and to grasp. But that's the God with whom we have to deal. And then the good news is we flee to Christ. The Bible says he's the one who keeps us from the wrath to come. So what you have today is salvation by, well, I think I need God. And so there may be those who are genuinely saved, those who aren't. And ultimately, God makes the decision, because he's the only one that knows the heart. But if you were to ask me, as you have done, what's wrong with the evangelical churches, I have to say this, and I may be guilty of this too, but we have lots of people who are never convicted of their sins. I remember as a boy, 14, out in the farm, I hadn't done anything greatly wrong. I was a good boy. But I remember being so convicted of sin that I was desperate to get saved. And what we have today is people getting saved who have no conviction of sin. And if I might put it very clearly, grace is not sweet until sin is bitter. So we have to get back to a balanced view of God. And speaking of a balanced view of God, there was an article in The Economist some time ago that said that, you know, nobody believes in the Smitey Almighty of the Old Testament, the God who smote the Egyptians, the God who smote Sodom and Gomorrah. So one of the chapters in my book is, can we still believe in the Smitey Almighty? And I discuss the flood, the killing of the Canaanites, stoning in the Old Testament. And then one of the longest chapters in the book is God more tolerant than he used to be? Because we don't see that in the New Testament. And I show absolutely not. I am the Lord, I change not. And I show how that the judgments of the New Testament, because we have more light, are even greater than anything in the Old Testament. In the evangelical churches today, you don't hear the urgency of a wrathful God who is going to judge the world in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be separated with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power. You don't hear that. And if we heard more of that, and then on the other side preached grace and the wonder of God's grace, I think it might make a difference. But we have domesticated God. We have created him in an image that we can live with.
The Reverend Dr. Erwin Lutzer. Based on the election results, it doesn't look like change will come to Illinois anytime soon. The Democratic majority retains its power in the General Assembly. The Illinois Family Institute's David Smith says truth is the best counter to their legislative agenda that looks to favor abortion, suicide, prostitution, and drug use.
But for serious Christians, our conscience will not allow us to remain silent. We refuse to trade our integrity for a little peace of mind. We must uphold God's truth and his standards in the public square. We must testify to truth regardless of the costs.
David Smith, the executive director of the Illinois Family Institute. Tom Brekka is a renowned legal expert with over 5 decades of experience in federal and state courts. As the founder, president, and chief counsel of the Thomas More Society, he spent more than 2 decades championing the sanctity of life, religious liberty, and family values. Spotlight spoke with Mr. Brekka before the election. While the pro-abortion Biden-Harris administration has come to an end, Governor Pritzker and Attorney General Kwame Raoul still threaten life in Illinois.
I think now is the time, if ever, for people on our side of these life and death issues to speak up loud and clear and to make sure that our side of this is heard and understood. I don't want our message to be drowned out. Our message is one that has worked for however many years this country has been going, indeed, since we've had Western civilization. There's an act of love involved in the begetting of children. This is the best way for young men and women to exploit and go forward in their lives, to live fully fulfilled lives with children, not to make a virtue out of getting rid of them before they ever see the light of day. I think people have to realize what abortion is. It's not health care, it's a killing. And that message somehow has been lost track of.
We see states codifying abortion into their constitution, even a red state like Ohio. So what do we as Christians, as pro-life people, have to do to counter that?
Well, I think we've got to let people know that life is a sacred thing and somehow make noise. You know, I've represented demonstrators, protesters for many years now, and I think if there ever was a time for people to take action and speak up on the sidewalks, in the streets, it's now, not just in the legislatures, but everywhere. I got started representing Joe Shidler, the late Shidler. He wrote a book that got him into trouble, at least that's what led to the lawsuit that went on 28 years, took me to the Supreme Court 3 times. It was called 99 Ways to Stop Abortion. Well, before Joe left us a few years ago, he said he wanted to write another book about the other 99 ways. I think we've got to revisit Joe's book, explore the 99 ways, and invent our other 99 ways to get our message across. It's a positive, fulfilling, happiness-creating message. Somehow that message is being blotted out.
You mentioned that Christians, pro-life folks, need to speak out. But I think a lot of folks are intimidated now because of the weaponization,
yes,
against Christians and pro-life folks.
Monty, it's Kwame Raoul, Justice Department here in the state of Illinois, our very blue state. It's Rob Bontas, Justice Department out in California. We're fighting also against Letitia James, and they're trying to suppress pro-life speech and put people in fear of going to jail for up to 11 years. Some of us are already seeing pro-life people in jail for a first offense, convicted for blocking access under the FACE law. We're fighting that law. It's unconstitutional. What those people did is not interstate commerce. The federal government has no business in this anymore. Roe is gone. This is a matter of morals and politics. It's local. We want to get rid of that FACE law. We want to fight under the First Amendment for the right of people to speak out and they've got to exercise that right. Do not be intimidated. Speak up. Let's stem this tide against us and turn the tide. We got rid of Roe. We can get rid of this backlash to the Dobbs decision.
Pro-life candidate for office, what advice would you give that candidate?
Well, I would tell these pro-life people to look at human history and tell young people that, listen, the Playboy philosophy has been shown to be a fraud. It was an excuse to exploit women, devalue human life, make courtship a sporting event where men try and take advantage of women. Turn that Me Too movement into a movement not only for the dignity of women, but for the dignity of men and women falling in love, fruitful love, getting married with lifelong commitments, bearing children, watching, as Debbie and I do, our grandchildren grow up. What could be a greater joy? The opposition, or the opposing advocacy, is for a one-night stand, to make this a matter of a fleeting frolic. That's not a key to happiness. What we stand for is what would make young people happy people and give them the opportunity to live a full, enduring, happy life.
So you have hope for Illinois on the life issue and on the First Amendment issue, free speech.
Well, free speech is the key to the life issue. I think people need to be helped to understand what the pro-life issue means. It's not a taking away of good things. It's to establish your prospect for a full, happy, fruitful life. And the Christian message has prevailed for two millennia, and I think in this third millennia we may take some hits, but ultimately we will prevail. I'm still bursting with confidence, but the determination needed to get us to the place where we'll reap these results that I think are coming in the longer term, where our game is a long game. It's also a short game, and we hope we'll win here.
Tom Brekka with the ThomasMoreSociety.org. Thanks for listening. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. Go to IllinoisFamily.org to give, to sign on for IFI email updates, and to check out upcoming events, including our Marriage and Family Worldview Conference, Saturday, March 8th at Belmont Bible Church in Downers Grove. Please tell your family and friends about Illinois Family Spotlight. And until next time, stay healthy, stay active, and God bless.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.